Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile... With mobile connectivity.
Exactly. And
advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
Wednesday, February 28, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, that is Denver, Colorado. We get together every single weekday, talk sports, and try to bring you a common sense approach to the world of sports. We are happy to have you with us today. Happy Wednesday to you. You know, it is the final day of February. Can you believe that already? Final day of February. I mean, spring is coming. March begins tomorrow. Spring is going to be here. Well, I mean, it's not going to be here in Colorado because we are about to enter our snowiest months in March and April, but I'm sure somewhere spring is coming. I don't know where. You know, you can always tell the youth coaches in Colorado that aren't actually from here because they schedule a bunch of outdoor sports in March and April, and everyone that's actually from here, the natives of Colorado, we all just laugh. We just sit back and enjoy the scene because every single one of those events is getting canceled. Spring in Colorado is a little bit different. We get a lot of sun. We get some wind. We get some snow. We'll get some rain. We'll get some hail. Might get a tornado. You name it. The difference in Colorado is we will get it all on the same day in the spring. That's just kind of how we roll here. Now, if you'd like to contact us, let us know where it is that you live. Let us know what you like about your weather or maybe what you wish you had about your weather. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over at Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. You know, we've got a number of things here for you today. First, we do have a little bit of breaking news that we want to talk. Want to talk just a little bit of March Madness today as well. Got a couple teams in college basketball that you might not be aware of. We want to kind of put them on your radar. And as we do every single Wednesday, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
What in the world could we be ranking today? Couple things coming out in the world of breaking news. First off, remember when Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones was going to get NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell fired? How'd that all turn out, by the way? Anybody remember how that all went? You know, the NFL is now demanding reimbursement in excess of $2 million from Jerry Jones for court costs related to star running back Ezekiel Elliott's suspension and Jones' threatened litigation over Commissioner Roger Goodell's contract. The owners are citing a rule. It's apparently been on the books for more than two decades, and it says if an owner participates in bringing litigation against other owners, he must reimburse them for the legal fees. How about that? The league is ordering Jones to pay all legal fees that the compensation committee incurred while legally defending itself from Jones's threats to sue over the extension of Roger Goodell's contract. Of course, the Cowboys never even followed through on the suit. Jones is also going to have to compensate the NFL for all of its legal fees spent defending the Elliott suspension. Kind of tough though, isn't it? Like, just as a fan? Like, do you cheer for Roger Goodell? Do you cheer for Jerry Jones? Like, choosing sides in Goodell versus Jones, it's like asking, would you rather have gonorrhea or herpes? Like, I don't like either one of them. Can I have a different option? I don't like either one of these two. The one thing I will always go back to with Roger Goodell, though, I don't think he acts independently. I think he does exactly as he is told by the NFL owners. And I know a lot of times we think he's acting on his own accord. We totally did that with the whole situation with the New England Patriots. Goodell's just going after them. He's not doing anything he's not being told to do. That is his job. Act on behalf of the NFL owners. We can get mad at Goodell if we want. He's just doing what he's told. He's just doing what those other owners are telling him to do. I don't expect Jerry Jones to go without a fight on this whole thing. I fully expect there to be more lawsuits and arguing and complaining and whining and moaning amongst all these millionaires over what honestly isn't that much money. But, you know, that's how they got rich. It's a lot of money to them. One other thing of note coming out from the NFL. The NFL Competition Committee has reached a unanimous agreement that some of the league's most debated catch controversies should have been ruled complete.
What?
According to committee member and New York Giants owner John Mara, plays include Dallas Cowboys receiver Dez Bryant's catch in the 2014 playoffs and Detroit Lions wide receiver Calvin Johnson's catch back in 2010. I think we are unanimous, Mara told ESPN on Tuesday. Plays like the Dez Bryant play in Green Bay, going to the ground, the Calvin Johnson play from a couple years back, I think all of us agree those should be completions, so let's write the language to make them completions. Hey, there you have it. They were both catches. 8 years later, they were both catches. And in other NFL news, Tom Brady's fumble back in the playoffs was not a tuck. And also, the immaculate reception was actually illegal. Look, just come out and say you're going to try to fix the rule. Don't go back to those old plays and say, hey, those were actually catches. Don't tell us to play make-believe. We get enough make-believe stuff from the NCAA. We don't need to go out and play make-believe and, hey, that was actually a catch. Just say, hey, we've looked at this stuff. It doesn't make any sense. We've got to make sense of the rule. We've got to have a catch rule in the NFL that makes sense to anyone. We can't have the situation that we're having every single week where we look at a catch and everybody watching it goes, I have no idea what they're going to rule here. I think the refs are looking at it going, I have no idea what to rule here. The NFL catch has gotten completely convoluted. They need to clean it up and they need to get it fixed. Hopefully that's what they do. I don't know how much faith I have. Finally, it looks like LeBron James isn't the only NBA player that doesn't think he gets enough calls.
Okay!
Yep. Of course, on Sunday, the philanthropist called out the NBA officials for only calling fouls for outside shooters, despite the fact that the bulk of the fouls are in favor of players that go to the basket and players that are in control of the basketball the most. But on Monday, we had another player say that he and his teammates, they don't get any calls either. After the Oklahoma City Thunder's 112-105 win over the Orlando Magic on Monday, Paul George said he, Russell Westbrook, and Carmelo Anthony are officiated differently than other stars in the NBA. It's a shame. It's a shame. It's tough, Paul George said. We're so aggressive, we play at the rim constantly. We're just officiated differently, all three of us. And it's tough. At least one of us should get the benefit of the doubt. And when we're on the floor, no one is getting the better side of that whistle. But we're going to keep attacking. We're going to keep being aggressive. That's our job, to put pressure on them. At some point, it's got to work out for us. Hey, once again, I mean, Paul George says it. Has to be true, doesn't it? Well, maybe not. You know what? Let's go ahead and look at the facts. Because it seems like in society today, it seems like we don't always care that much about facts. We care about feelings. And it's no more obvious than right here. Paul George feels like the Oklahoma City Thunder don't get fouls called in their favor. I'm not concerned about his feelings. I want to look at facts. Okay, let's take a look here. Let's look at a list of teams that get the most free throws in the NBA. Let's see. Charlotte Hornets. Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's go down a little further. Milwaukee. Oh, there's Oklahoma City. They're sitting at 7th in the entire NBA. Most free throws shot. That's actually better than I thought, considering they do shoot from the outside a lot. Oklahoma City is 7th. Cleveland is 9th. In the entire NBA, those two teams are sitting in the top 10, and these are the two teams that are whining saying they don't get the calls. Again, it's not about facts with a lot of people today. It's about feelings. Well, I just feel like we don't get calls. Well, I'm looking at paper and you do get calls. You know who doesn't get calls? Small market, no-name guys. They don't get calls. Go talk to the backup point guard at like Indiana. See how many calls he gets. You know who gets calls in the NBA? Superstars get calls in the NBA. That's who's always gotten the calls. LeBron gets calls. James Harden gets calls. The Warriors get calls. Oklahoma City gets calls. Don't tell me you don't get calls. And is this news? This is coming out. We're being told this right and left. Are we going to talk to every single player in the NBA that thinks they don't get calls? Again, it obviously isn't about facts. These guys are just talking and saying, well, I just feel like I don't always get the calls I deserve. No one ever thinks they get the calls they deserve. You don't get every single call. Paul George, stop whining. LeBron James, stop whining. I don't want to hear about all the calls you don't think you're getting. You're getting plenty. So sick of feelings. Honestly. You know, when we started the Daily Dose, that was one of our mantras. We weren't going to do anything about feelings. We don't do feelings here. I want to deal with facts. I don't want to deal in feelings. Hey, speaking of facts, coming back, we are just 2 weeks away from Selection Sunday in what promises to be a wide open NCAA basketball tournament. Now, we know that there are not a lot of like far and away favorites. Like there's not a lot of big dog teams out there in this tournament. But what teams might we keep an eye on that might not be on anybody's radar just yet? I've got a couple of teams out there. Just might surprise some people.
London. There's 8.5 million of us all in a hurry to get somewhere. To work, school pickup, or a first date. Hey, who knows? This time it could be the one. So why can't we be more considerate of each other and help everyone get there on time? By moving down the carriage, keeping your cool with other road users, and folding your buggy to let wheelchairs on the bus. Because we think you'll agree, London's better when we travel kind. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
Okay, we all know that everyone is looking for an advantage in the March Madness office pool, right? Like, we can sit here and pretend it's all about the sport, and it's all about competition, and it's all about these young kids getting a chance, whatever. We all want to win our office pool, that's the bottom line. When it comes to March Madness, I want to win some money. That is it. Now, I'm going to throw out a few teams here, and I'm telling you, you may want to watch a few of these teams as they head into their conference tournaments. They don't have huge names, but if they make the dance, they have a shot to be a pain for some of those bigger name squads. Might not have the name, but they have the ability to hang with some of the big dogs in this NCAA tournament. And if your favorite team draws one of these teams that I'm going to give you in the tournament, I'm just saying be a little bit careful about chirping what an easy path you think you might have. Because if you draw one of these next five teams I'm going to give you, I don't know, it might be a little bit tougher than you think. I've got five under-the-radar college basketball teams here. You just might want to keep an eye on. See if they make the dance. And if they do, look out, because they could be trouble if they get there. First team on our list. You know, you might not remember it, but it was just back in 2003, not that long ago, what, 15 years ago, that St. Bonaventure was in the middle of their own scandal. They played a transfer student that was actually ineligible, and they were forced to forfeit every single game on their schedule, and they even had some scholarships taken away. But the Bonnies have rebounded to become a solid program again over the past, I don't know, 10 years or so. This season, St. Bonaventure is 22-6, and they have managed to pick up wins against Buffalo, against Syracuse, against Vermont, and against Rhode Island. We all know that in the tournament, good guard play can be huge. If I've got guards that can take care of the basketball in clutch moments, I'm going to be pretty tough. The Bonnies have two very good guards in Matt Mobley and Jalen Adams. St. Bonaventure leads the Atlantic 10 in scoring. So if you do draw them in the tournament, better not have a cold shooting day, because you might be in trouble against St. Bonaventure. Next on our list of under-the-radar teams, we don't have to start that. If you draw Loyola Chicago in the tournament, you might get ahead of yourself and start looking at that second round matchup. Okay, who's going to win of that game? Want to see who we're going to be playing in the next round? Yeah, be careful. You might not get that far. The problem for Loyola Chicago is whether or not they can actually get into the tournament. We know that as much as they say they don't, the NCAA selection committee prefers to take big name programs over the little guys. They do it every single year. But I'm telling you, the Loyola Chicago Ramblers can hang with the big boys. They are 12-3 versus the RPI top 150. They have beat Florida, Illinois State, and Southern Illinois. Now, Loyola did have one bad stretch during the season. They lost 3 of 4 from December 16th to January 3rd. But that was when their best player, Clayton Custer, was out. Not only is he their most valuable player, he's probably going to be the Missouri Valley's player of the year. Loyola is 23-2 when Clayton Custer plays. If Loyola gets to the dance, I'm telling you right now, they could bring some madness. Don't just count them out. That's a very tough team. Don't sleep on Loyola Chicago. Okay, next team up here that's a little bit under the radar. They aren't exactly the little guy, but we know that in the state of North Carolina, North Carolina State is kind of last, right? Like, you've got North Carolina, you've got Duke, you might even put Wake Forest in there. Now, I don't have a clue what the FBI report is going to do to the Wolfpack down the road, but for right now, North Carolina State is going to be a tough out in this tournament. The Wolfpack is 20-9. They are very explosive offensively. They've already beaten Arizona, Clemson, Duke, North Carolina, and Florida State. Hey, they can beat anyone in the country on any given day. Head coach Kevin Keats, he has some tournament experience. He actually led UNC Wilmington to the dance twice. Don't be surprised to see North Carolina State make some noise this year in the tournament. They've got some major talent. Again, they've got a very, very good backcourt with Alec Freeman and Torin Dorn. North Carolina State is a team you might not want to sleep on. That's a pretty solid group. Our next under-the-radar team. Now, what do you do if you get into the tournament and you have that cold shooting night in the big arena? Because that does happen. And it's not usually the long-range shots. A lot of times, we think of teams going to the big arenas and we think they're not going to hit any threes tonight because it's the big arena. Sometimes that throws off your depth perception. It's not the long-range shots. Shooters can shoot. Put them anywhere. Put them outside. Put them in a big gym. Put them wherever you want. Shooters can shoot. It's the little 8 to 10 footers that seem like they don't fall as easily. But I'm telling you right now, if you have that kind of cold shooting night against New Mexico State in the NCAA tournament this year, yeah, you might be going home for the year. The Aggies are one of the top defensive and top rebounding teams in the country. Forward Jamario Jones, he averages 13 rebounds a game. He's also an excellent passer. Zach Lofton is a guy that's just going to go out and get 20 points a night. Now, New Mexico State is 21-5. They already beat Miami this year. And I know we've seen previous New Mexico State squads get close to pulling some upsets in the NCAA tournament. This could be the year they actually do bust up some brackets. Keep an eye on the New Mexico State Aggies. Our final team. It's a team we know a little bit. We don't know them that well, but we know them a little bit. We all remember Middle Tennessee State knocking off Michigan State as a 15 seed back in 2016, right? You might remember a young guy from that team. He actually has one of the best names in college basketball. Giddy Potts can still shoot that thing. And he's got some help this year. He's got Nick King. He's got Brandon Walters. Middle Tennessee State is 22-5. They've beaten Murray State, Western Kentucky, Old Dominion, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss. Here's the thing for Middle Tennessee State. The tournament is nothing new to them. This is going to be their third year in a row, most likely getting to the dance. They've won games the past 2 years. So it's not like they're going to be starstruck if they get to the tournament. Do not be surprised to see Middle Tennessee not just maybe get through and win one game. They might win a few games in the dance this year. Because Middle Tennessee State can play some defense, they can shoot it, and they've got some experience. They're going to be a tough out. Five teams right there might not be on the national radar. Average fans might not know who they are. Five teams right there you might want to keep an eye on as you look and we start to get into these conference tournaments and the NCAA bracket starts to fill out. Just keep in mind, five of these teams, they might be pretty dangerous as we get into March Madness. Hey, coming back, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
Okay, we know that the NFL Combine is running this week as NFL teams are trying to find the best players available in the draft. So here's an easy question. Who are the best players in this year's group? Just a quick reminder, if you've got any shopping to do, head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. March's Loot Crate theme is called Playback. It features items from Back to the Future, Sonic the Hedgehog, Dungeons and Dragons, and The Simpsons. Best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose into the coupon box. We're going to get you 10% off of your order. And if you're not interested in any of those franchises I just gave you for March's Loot Crate theme, go over to lootcrate.com. They have any franchise you can think of, and they've got all kinds of different items over there that you are going to like. Maybe if you need to buy a present, maybe just shopping for yourself, head over to lootcrate.com. You're going to like what you find over there. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
You know, the NFL Combine, it's running this week. Prospects are getting poked and prodded and forced to participate in the Underwear Olympics in Indianapolis. Now, as we get closer to the NFL draft, of course, we'll be taking a look at some different teams, look at some different team needs. But if we were just picking the best players, regardless of position today, who would we pick? I'm going to give you my top five players in this year's draft. Where are they going to go? I have no idea. But I think these are the five best players in the draft this year. Now, I don't have a rooting interest in these guys. I could care less. I'm also not picking by need. A lot of teams are going to do that. I'm just telling you who I think the five best players are in this year's draft. Number five on my list, I'm going to go with offensive guard out of Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson. Nelson is probably the safest player in the draft because I think you can plug him in on your offensive line. He's probably going to go to the Pro Bowl a few times in his career. He's a guy that can move people back in the run game. He's a guy that's got good enough foot quickness to stay in front of pass rushers. Nelson generates a ton of power, and I think he's actually talented enough. He's actually athletic enough. If you had to, you could probably move him from guard to like right tackle. He's a hard worker. He's a guy that can help you in the run game. He's a guy that's got pass protection skills. He should be a top 10 pick. Will he go that high? I don't know, because an offensive guard isn't that sexy. But if you just want a safe pick, if you just want a guy that you can plug in and probably get years of good service from him, Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame, he might be the guy you want to pick because he's got a ton of talent. Very, very safe. I think he's one of the top five most talented players in this draft. Number four on my list, most talented players in this draft. I'm going to go with Georgia inside linebacker Roquan Smith. Smith is an extremely gifted athlete. We were fortunate enough, we got to see him in that playoff game against Oklahoma in the semifinals and then in the championship game against Alabama. Hey, he can go sideline to sideline. He can make plays everywhere on the field. He's a well-built guy. He's a guy that when he gets there, he brings a big hit. He is a violent type of hitter. He will make the opposition feel him for a while. And as an inside linebacker, he actually has the ability to get through blocks, to find guys, to get down the line and make plays. He's a guy that locates ball carriers quickly. He's a guy that fills lanes. He's the guy that sheds blocks. He's a very, very good linebacker. I think Smith is probably one of the top five players in this draft. Number three on our list of best players in this NFL draft. I'm going to go with Alabama defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick because Fitzpatrick is a do-it-all defensive back. He can play anywhere. You want him to play safety? He can play safety. You want him to play corner? He can do that. You need him to stuff the run? He can stuff the run. You need him to cover a tight end? Do you need him to hang with a slot receiver? He can do it all. Here's the thing that really sells me about Minka Fitzpatrick. Not only is he talented enough to cover guys, to come up and do what is needed, he's got way better speed than you might think. He can really cover ground. If you watch some of his play with Alabama, he is making plays everywhere. I'm not a combine guy, but I'm kind of interested to see what Fitzpatrick logs at the combine as far as his speed, because his speed doesn't make any sense. How is he covering on one side of the field, getting clear over to the other side of the field and making a play? And Minka Fitzpatrick has really, really good instincts. He's a high IQ guy. He's a guy that has a ton of athletic ability, but he's also a guy that studies the game, that understands the game. And he's a guy that apparently studies some film because he's a smart guy in his reactions. I think Minka Fitzpatrick is easily one of the top five players in this NFL draft. Moving up to number two, I told you there's always that guy. There's always that pass rusher that ends up moving up. Maybe we didn't hear that much about him throughout the year. But North Carolina State, edge rusher, defensive end, outside linebacker. I don't know where Bradley Chubb is actually going to play, but I know that he's probably the best pass rusher in this draft. He's pretty technically sound. He's not maybe as flashy as some of the pass rushers that have come out in the last few years, but he's very, very steady. And I think because he has so many pass rush moves and he's fundamentally sound, I think that Bradley Chubb could be a guy, maybe he doesn't come out and have the huge year, but he just puts in steady years year after year after year. He could come out and get double digit sacks like every year because he's just fundamentally sound. He's strong. He's not going to get out pushed. He's not just going to let an offensive tackle out physical him. He is strong enough to hang with him, but he's also quick enough to get off the edge and put some serious pressure on your quarterback. I think Bradley Chubb is a guy that can play in the NFL for a while, and a guy that, because of his fundamentals, could be, again, maybe not quite as flashy, but could be a very, very talented NFL player for a few years. So who is the best player in this NFL draft? I don't think it's that close. Running back Saquon Barkley out of Penn State is the best player that I saw all year. He has the kind of athletic traits that allow him to kill you as a runner, but also as a pass rusher, also as a return man on special teams. He is a guy that if you don't know where he's at on every single play, he just might strike for a huge play. He's got size. No question about that. He's a big guy. He might be a little bit bigger than I thought he was. He's got very good speed, and I am interested to see what kind of speed he shows at the combine. But the thing I like most about Saquon Barkley is he also seems like a kid that is hungry to get better. If there was one thing I could ask at the NFL Combine to some of these prospects, how much do you want to be great? Do you want to get better? And I don't know if you could get him to answer honestly. I just want to know. Are you satisfied with where you're at? Are you still sitting there saying, no, I've got a long way to go? I think Saquon Barkley is the kind of guy that wants good coaching because he wants to get better. What's not to like about Saquon Barkley? I think without question, he is the best player in this NFL draft this year. Now, notice one thing about my list. Run down this list real quick again. Running back Saquon Barkley, edge rusher Bradley Chubb, defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick, inside linebacker Roquan Smith, and offensive guard Quentin Nelson, I believe are the five best players in this draft. Notice one thing about this list. There are no quarterbacks on my top five. Who would I even put in there? Josh Rosen? I think Josh Rosen probably throws the best pass in this class. And he certainly looks the part of an NFL quarterback, doesn't he? I mean, aside from the, you know, winning thing, he didn't win that much at UCLA. And I understand you can sit there and say, well, he didn't have that much talent around him. Maybe. But I didn't see him make any plays down the stretch either. I like USC quarterback Sam Darnold's intangibles. I don't think he's that pretty of a player, but I think he's the kind of player that just might win you some games. He seems to get things done when he has to. So I like Sam Darnold. But there's not a sure thing at quarterback in this draft. Baker Mayfield, he's got some questions. Josh Allen, he's got a lot of questions. Lamar Jackson, got a ton of questions. There's not a sure quarterback in this NFL draft. So are we going to see NFL teams be patient and wait and take these quarterbacks in maybe the second round or the third round? No, I don't think we will. I think NFL teams completely lose their minds when it comes to quarterbacks. This isn't a huge quarterback class. It's okay. But I promise you, we're going to see 6-7 quarterbacks taken in the first two rounds easy. We'll probably see two quarterbacks taken in these first five picks. Because NFL teams talk themselves into these things every single year. And no, it rarely works, but that doesn't mean they're not just going to do it again the first chance they get. You watch. As we get closer and closer to the draft, you're going to start hearing things. Hey, Josh Rosen's a lot better than we thought he was. Is he? What changed? What changed from when UCLA didn't win that much with him and he looked okay when he felt like playing? What changed between then and now? Nothing. We're going to start hearing, hey, Josh Allen has a very, very high ceiling. I don't know. If he's there, we just might have to get him in the top 10. What changed? All of a sudden, he played against better competition? No, I don't have any idea what Josh Allen's going to do. But is he a first round talent? I don't think so. We don't know that much about him. He seems like kind of a small time guy. I guess we'll see. He's got great size. I'll give him that. But you watch, as we get closer, we're going to see a few of these quarterbacks get moved up and up and up. You watch, we will have NFL teams take these quarterbacks way, way too early. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will, of course, be discussing the latest in sports news, see what stories just might be coming out. And as usual, on Thursday, we will have our Daily Dose overreactions of the week. I just wonder if we're going to have any overreactions coming out this week. Oh, I bet we do. Hey, thank you so much for listening to and sharing the show. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for retweeting the show. We appreciate all of that so much. If you'd like to contact us, hit us up at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to hear from you. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
London. There's 8.5 million of us all in a hurry to get somewhere. To work, school pickup, or a first date. Hey, who knows? This time it could be the one. So why can't we be more considerate of each other and help everyone get there on time? By moving down the carriage, keeping your cool with other road users, and folding your buggy to let wheelchairs on the bus. Because we think you'll agree, London's better when we travel kind. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.